I think we're in the middle of a Paragirum Pasuk Zion, so. We're talking about Hipil Purhu Hagairul. Haman cast a lottery. We explained the difference between poor and Gairul. The poor is bad and Gairul is good. Poor means to crumble. And we went through some different lotteries. We did a lottery on the days and on the months. Menuhin Hagoyim talks about this in a couple of places, and not everything he says can be worked together into one cohesive pshat. The first bit of thing that he says, he says, you're making a lottery. Make a lottery. This lottery is based on the Chokmas HaMazalis. I don't know how it works. We don't really have to know how it works. It doesn't complete us as people to know how this works. But there's something about the sight of a Hagrola, a lottery. You put pieces of paper in a hat and you take them out. That the Mazalis are the powers, the kaiches that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created to keep the world running in its in a natural mode, the everyday mode. They're nothing special.
Can you get the message?
HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what?
Can you get the message when you lost like a bunch of times?
Rishayim are always in a constant state of denial. They'll attribute the failure to the most remote of reasons. They're not interested in seeing messages. They have to get the rishis out.
So
there's some connection that if you believe in the mazalos, so in the mazalos is the kayak to run the affairs of the world. In the mazalos is the kayak of gravity, the kayak of wind, the kayak of fire. In the mazalis is all the kaychas, I mean, you know, actual, the natural forces. And the natural forces, they have properties, certain properties, fixed properties, not unchangeable properties, immutable properties. They don't have bechira. And that's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the mazalis, that the mazalis instill these properties into our world. Exactly. And there's some, you know, in the next step in this equation is if the mazalis, if they're empowered by Kadosh Baruch Hu to influence the natural events in this world, so then there should be a way of telling what they have in store for this world. It's there. For example, someone that's a computer programmer could look at a computer program, a printout of a computer program. Well, let's start with someone that's not a computer programmer. Someone that's not a computer programmer that looks at a printout, he'll be talking about thousands of pages of data, and he'll look at it, and all he sees is ones and zeros. And he'll be able to make no sense out of it. But someone that's a computer programmer, that's what they do, is the whole day they type ones and zeros. And to them, the sequence and the amount and the juxtaposition of the different letters and the spaces, and it means something. And they could tell what the program is engineered to do based on the data. And the Chachmei HaMazalis, those that they peer into the constellations and they know the sages, the secrets of the constellations, there has to be a way I'll use the word programmed for lack of a better alternative. It's programmed into the Mazalis, the Ritzon Hashem. That what they were created for to do in this world, we should be able to discern the intent and to see what it is. Now somehow or another this relates to Hagrolas, to lotteries. I don't know how. We don't know how. But if someone believes in the lottery and he casts the lottery l'shem, you know, for the sake of finding out what it lies in the mazalis, so in the mazalis not only do they impact on this world, but they will also impact which piece of paper comes out of the hat. I'm a little bit sketchy on that. But yeah, there is some kind of connection. You say, I'm making this lottery for the sake of finding out what the kaifas in this world have in store for this world. I might have this plan. I want to know if I'm going to be matzliach. And then that will influence, you know, which paper comes out.
Are you allowed to do that?
No, it's aser. Of course it's aser. Leis nachshu. It's aser. Haman wasn't a frum Jew. That wasn't the same thing. That was not the same thing. That was Ritzon Hashem. First of all, that the Torah tells him to do that. That's the difference whether something is a mitzvah or avera is whether to do it or not to do it. And they weren't doing it with the same intent. This is a form of avodah zarah. And that, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says.
We do girls nowadays. We put
names. Right, but we don't do it. There's a form of avodah zarah.
What about girl like girl?
That's not a vodazar. That's not mazal. It's a messiah from the Vilna Gaon. That if you, it's a form. Yeah, I wouldn't call it a form in a vua, but it's. What about the chayshin that they lit up certain letters on it? They wanted stuff to go to war, so they asked the chayshin. They asked the kohen gadol where the chayshin, the mishpat, the breastplate, and certain letters. Exactly.
Wasn't playing with the mazal.
Isn't no? And when you do a lottery, when Hashem tells you to do it, that's also Hashem. Certain letters light up. I'll give you a message. So Gerla Gra is in that category. I mean, it's nowhere near that level, but it's in that category. It's like the Urim V'Tumim. Gerla Gra using a Torah to do it. You're using the Torah. The Torah is telling you. So the Vilna Gaon asks from the Gemara Shabbos. And Digmar Shabbos is Ein Mazal Yisrael. Ein Mazal Yisrael. Ein Mazal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael doesn't work like that. Hashem does not create forces to govern the lives of Klal Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chvaydo v'atzmai. He has a shkacha pratis, that's, you know, in his divine omnipotence, he's mashkiach, he cares for the, you know, the daily needs of each and every Ben Yisrael on a constant basis, and he doesn't leave it to any malachim or any intermediaries, because Baruch is mashkiach. So the kasha is, how could a lottery, which foretells what the mazals have in store for Klal Yisrael, have any impact on Klal Yisrael? The Mazalas say that this is a good day to destroy Klal Yisrael. That's nice. That's nice. The Mazal says it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is who decides what's good for Klal Yisrael or not. The Mazal can't have an impact.
What they do in general, unless we can override the Mazal. So the Mazal.
Yeah, well, you know, there's different ways of answering this question. The Rev Dessler, in Michta Meliyahu, says he said, he quotes the Gemara and Gittin, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim. When you have a machlokes, then there is a way of finding a truth according to both opinions. Even if they appear on the surface to be contradictory, they both have life to them. They're the words of the living God. They might contradict in a certain level of understanding, but at a different level they won't contradict at all, and they're both emes. And he said this applies to God and to Gemaras as well. I mean, the Gemara, this applies to Agadah to Gemara. So you have a Gemara, Yesh Mazal Yisrael, Ein Mazal Yisrael. The Chayyur, there's no common ground, because either there is or there isn't. And the answer is that both are true. There's a Yisrael, which we're going to have over and over again in our lives, that a person has his own, everyone lives within their own reality. People create their own reality. Everyone has their own sphere. And this could be applied to many things. You know? For our purposes, we could say that we are, or our world, our realm, our place of existence, is where we believe we are. You believe you're in a certain world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a world around you that's tailor-made to what your belief is. And the rules of that world are set according to what what world you believe you're in at the time. Because Baruch Hu, he creates, each person creates his own world. And this is the Yisrael of Olam Haba, the end of all days, when hopefully we're Zeichet Olam Haba. So then all the meritorious parts, all the parts of that world that are Ritzon of Hashem says, oh, this this existence you created around yourself, yeah, that's exactly what I had in mind for you. So that part lives on forever. So Elam Haba is the product of our own creation based on where we believe we are. And the parts were mechavin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like you mechavin to the Pshat, you know. Hashem says, yes, that's what I meant. So that's going to live on forever. And the other part has to be burned away. That's the site of Gan Eden Gehenna. Avraham Avinu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu he's going to have a kid, Avraham Avinu said, he saw in the stars that Avraham is not going to have a kid. Rashi brings down the Chazal. The Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram, "Tzei mi'etzagnina shecha. You have to exit from this world. Get out. You've got to break out from your stargazing world." And the Lashon of the Chazal, it's a medrash. Kadosh Baruch Hu lifted him up above the kachavim. And of course, it doesn't mean he put him in a spaceship. It means he elevated him. He elevated him. He's on a higher spiritual level. Above the kechavim means that the kechavim no longer determine what's going to be with Avraham Avinu. He's above them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is going to make the decision. Hashem says, for all the Goyim, the kechavim make the decision. Hashem doesn't care about the Goyim. He only cares as much as they populate the world and they do what they have to do. But Klal Yisrael is the goal. Klal Yisrael is the purpose of creation. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with them directly. Kadosh Baruch Hu lifted him above the Chachavim. Why couldn't Hashem just change it? Why does Hashem have to lift him up above the Chachavim? Just change it. The Chachavim say no, Hashem says yes. Hashem has to take orders from Chachavim? Chas v'shalom. Hashem has to listen to Chachavim? Avram sees in the Chachavim he's not going to have a kid, and the only way to change it is to lift Avram above the Chachavim, lift him above the stars? And the Tarot says Hashem could, but he doesn't want to. Hashem has rules. And his rules are that the Kechavim should determine people's fate. But whose fate? The fate of the people that believe that the Kechavim determines their fate. Someone that lives in that world. It's called a finite existence. There's certain rules of nature. You have a man and a lady, they're married, and the woman doesn't have a uterus, she's not going to have kids. That's a Kechavim attitude. She's not going to have kids. A believing Jew doesn't say that. A believing Jew says if Hashem wants us to have kids, we'll have kids. Hashem generally doesn't go against the laws of nature, so it's not likely that we're going to have kids, but it's possible.
It happened.
We're here because of Sari Imenu did not have a uterus. We are here because of a nes like that. That is, we owe our very existence. Kadosh Baruch Hu created a new one.
That's a nes niglod. Such nes happen now and then. There's a difference between going against the
Kayachavim. To tell you the truth, the Nisim that happen nowadays are Nisei Nigla, but we don't necessarily find out about them. They're on the same level. I'll just give you an example. Do you know how many Nisim go on when a baby's in the mother's stomach? We don't. We don't have access to it. Do you know how many Nisim go on when a baby's in the mother's stomach?
But that's not going against nature.
Well, it's going against our concept of nature. My uncle, his wife is expecting a baby. My uncle Shmuel Kaufman. His wife is expecting a baby. This is about 27 years ago, when ultrasounds were in the rudimentary stages. They were very rough. They weren't able to see very much. X-rays was the vehicle of choice. And they stopped doing X-rays because X-rays contributed to the ill health of the one being X-rayed. And then they discovered ultrasounds, and ultrasounds wasn't as good. It's not as penetrating. It's using sound waves to the radioactive waves. And my aunt had an ultrasound, and this ultrasound found something that. In their experience of using ultrasound, they had never come across such a thing before. It should be able to be so good. It was able to see the mother, inside the mother. It was able to see the baby. It was able to see the baby's kidney. This is something which was very rare. And they were able to see a malfunction in the kidney. that based on their assessment, the child would need to be operated as soon as the child is born. And they were like, oh, they were amazed at this because they never detected such a thing. And you usually don't find out about such things. My uncle went to the...
They
saw everything. I mean, that's what the problem that they discovered was in the kidney. My uncle went to the Stalner Rebbe. And he asked him for a bracha. It's a daven. And he never would have gone to him, you know, if he wouldn't have known about it. This is like a phenomenon within itself. kidney blockages that need to be surgically repaired, b'derech hateva, must be surgically repaired in order for them to be repaired. And then when she was born, they put the baby through an ultrasound and they found nothing. Nisim. There you have a nice nigla. And, you know, it happens with anybody that's in the womb. We just don't find out about it. Nisim. It's a shtickle dangerous that they're penetrating the womb with all these things. Because once you have access to what goes on in the womb, so the Kaddish Baruch Hu says, okay, now you take care of it. You know, you see reading these periodicals how they perform surgery in the womb. And you're mechayiv to do it. Once you know about it, you have to do it. The only thing is that as long as it wasn't our province, it was hidden, so the HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of it.
Isn't it our shalos to check?
My rabbi said if you think there's a problem, you should check, but it doesn't help very much of random checks. He said there could be harmful effects from, you know, you think there's a problem, so then you check, but if you don't think there's a problem, so why do you do ultrasound that could cause harm to the baby? And I remember telling him that the ultrasound, there is no harm to the baby. He says, yeah, well, he's a lot older than we are, and he says that's what they said about x-rays. They said if there's a problem, if you think there's a problem, if you're looking for something, but random ultrasounds, he wasn't pro. But of course, I asked him this 25 years ago, so I'd have to re-ask him to Shiloh because, yeah, there could be 25 years of evidence now that there is no harmful effects. I don't know, or they could have upgraded the technology. Yeah, but to use ultrasound to find out the gender of the baby, I would say that there's no need to do that.
I would do it.
To use an ultrasound to find out if the baby is going to be challenged. These tests, like these amniotosis tests, to find out if the baby is going to be has a strong likelihood of developing Down syndrome. There's no point.
No.
You're not allowed to abort the baby. I mean, Goyim do it. You know, the people have no Yerushalayim do it because they'll say, okay, we don't like this one. Chuck this one out. Abort the baby. We want perfect children. Like the children they have are perfect. They grow up to be nothings, you know, no lives and rejects. But no, we have perfect babies. But a year's not allowed, you know, a year's not allowed to kill a baby because it's going to be Down syndrome. So if you're doing the ultrasound to find out whether you have to operate on the baby as soon as it's born, so you're chayiv, but they don't operate on Down syndrome children. Whatever they are, you love them. So these are just some examples. All right, so Mela, Ein Mazel Yisrael is when Klal Yisrael believes that they're above the Kechavim. Klal Yisrael says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Kechavim, he created the Kechavim to run the affairs of the world, but it's not for us. That's for everybody else in the world. We're God's kids. He takes care of us directly. Ein Mazel Yisrael. But if Klal Yisrael believes that they're part of the world, and you know, they're part of the family of man, and they share the same lot as everybody else in this world, and they're subject to the same forces, and then Klal Yisrael's putting themselves into the box. And the level of Klal Yisrael then was very low. I mean, the two chataim that they were hanging over their heads is they bowed down to the Avodah Zarah in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, which is clearly because they thought they were in the box. Because someone that truly believes he has a one-on-one relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that that nothing could touch him and nothing could hurt him, does not bow down to an Avodah Zarah when he's told, bow down or you die. When you're on that level, you say, well, I can't bow down. God's right in front of me, and he takes care of me. And if he wants me to die, I'll die. And if he doesn't, I won't, and I can't do it. So, you know, and the same thing that they had enough in the Suda of Achashverosh when the Gdelei Ador were telling them not to. They did it because they're afraid of Achashverosh. So that's one approach. So they were in Mazel. So Amma could make a he could make a girl. Haman understood that the Bnei Yisrael were in Mazel. You'll see later. He had a very clear understanding of where they were holding. They're in Mazel, so he can make a girl. The girl's going to affect them. And the truth is, he was right. And the only way we were saved is because the Kadosh Baruch Hu took us up and raised us up above the Kechavim. That's why Hashem did it with Avraham Avinu. He had to raise him up. He had to reveal himself to Avraham Avinu. And Hashem revealing himself to Avraham Avinu caused Avraham to go up to a higher level of Emunah. And then he's no longer within the confines of nature, and even Sarah could have a child. Even a 99-year-old man could give birth to a child. Even an 89-year-old woman without a womb could give birth to a child. Kadosh Baruch Hu reached out to Avraham Avinu and raised up his level. And the same thing has to happen here for us to get saved. That's one of these sages. Another pshat, which I saw, this is in the Vilna Gaon. That it says in the pasuk, "He peel poor who hagaru lifnei Haman." That Haman knew he couldn't do a gairel on Klal Yisrael when it's going to be bad for them, because it doesn't exist. Ein mazal Yisrael. This is another mahalach. So instead, he made a gairel. This doesn't necessarily stem with the chazals that we mentioned. But he made a gairel and it would be good for him. Oh. Yeah, it's good for him when he is in the mazal. And we see this halacha lemaisa. You know, halacha lemaisa. You shouldn't make a court case with gairel during off. It's not good. Goyim are riding high enough. That's when they were Metzliach. And we should make a court case with Goyim during Abba.
Not because of our muscle, or just because of the Goyim?
According to this Teretz. It's because, you know, according to this Teretz. Yeah, they'll answer that also. You have the same kasher. Shulchan Aruch tells you one day of court case is based on Mazel, so you have two Teretz. According to this Teretz. You know, the Goyim go up, or the Goyim go down. So that's why the Pasuk says, Hippo Puhu Agayrol. What's the next two words? Lifnei Haman. It was a girl Lifnei Haman, meaning that the girl was Lifnei Haman to see when his mazel is going up. Pasukas. Vayemer Haman Lamelis. Now everything is set. Haman's in position. Esther got there before him. Haman gets mad. He hatches the plan to destroy the Jewish people. He's got a date for it. Now all he needs is permission. Vayemer Haman Lamelech Achashverosh. Haman said to the king Achashverosh.
Wait, so what day is it?
The day of the massacre, sir, the month was Adar.
It doesn't say the day. It's not important because we already learned that those don't matter.
Okay? I don't know why it doesn't say the day. The day of the month. And we see later that it was the 13th. Yeah.
It doesn't matter because each day is the same.
That was the day of the week. Oh, that was the day of the week. Month. The day of the month we didn't deal with.
Why not?
Don't know. It's a good question. It's a good point. I don't know. Vayem Haman Lamelech Achashverosh. Yeshnei Amechad is one nation. Mefuzer. Scattered. Mefired. Separated. Bein Amram amongst the nations.
What's
the click between Mefuzer and Mefired? I'll get to it. Bechal Medinas and all the provinces of your kingdom. For the Seyam Shainas, they have very distinct laws. Different laws. Distinct laws. We call Am from any other nation. There's Dasi HaMelech and Amaisim. And besides the fact that their laws are different, they don't keep the king's laws. For HaMelech and Shavu HaNicham. And there's no worth. There's no value in leaving them around. I mean, you're not going to lose everything you get rid of them.
Well, the only nation that's paying taxes.
You know, so that's right. You know, Haman told Achashverosh that they don't pay the taxes. They cheat on the taxes. Whether it was true or not. Rashi says, it's Dasi HaMelech, the laws of the king, that means to pay taxes, they don't pay taxes.
Yeah,
So you're not going to lose anything.
Really, I thought they were.
Yeah, no, so not, you know, not everything we say works well with the other things. We said from the Megillah Starim that Haman had to offer to replace the revenue lost because they're the only ones who are paying taxes. What does Megillah Starim say here? So Rashi doesn't learn like that. The Targum elaborates on what Haman was telling Achashverosh. We're going to see Haman is known as the paradigm by Lashon Hara. He's the example. He's held up. He is the Baal Lashon Hara. Well, Baal Lashon Hara is not lying. So he's talking about the Dinei HaTorah, where it says that their laws are different. They have their own Torah, and it's different. Their Torah is different than anybody else's code of law. They won't eat our bread. They won't eat our cooked dishes. So according to the Targum, he's trying to incite the Achashverosh against the Jews, because you see that the Jews hold us in disfavor. They won't eat our bread. They won't eat our cooked things. They won't have our wine. They don't keep Xmas and New Year's. You see what happens when you don't keep Xmas and New Year's? You get poor. Besides, they don't keep our customs. They don't keep the king's laws. He piled it on. No, you don't get anything out of them. There's no reason to leave them alive on this earth. It's interesting. That's the Targum. Right, that's on that level. Megillah Starim has another mahalak for this pasuk. Megillah Starim endeavors to explain the pasuk and to unearth the tremendous chachma of Haman. You know, like where in these pshatim, like that we said so far, like where do we see the chachma was mamish? He was the king of palace intrigue. You know, he was the one that knew. He was the king. He was the master of character assassination. He knew how to rip somebody apart. Like, where do you see the chachma? There seems to be an element that we're missing here. Is to unearth, to delve into the depth of the chachma of Haman. Where do you see it? You mentioned that they're scattered, and then you know, the Gemara Megillah and. Yud Gimel Mabez, so Haman was mamish, the master of Lishna Bisha. Tremendous.
Is there any connection between him and Hagar? Since they both have a power of Lashon, in some sense.
What?
Is there a difference between him and Hagar? They both have a power of Lashon, in some sense.
Yes, they both have a power of Lashon.
Are they opposites of the...
Hagar used his power of Lashon for Taif. He helped Esther with it.
But his was more of a Nister. His power was more Nister and Haman's was more of a Nigla.
I don't know anything about Hagar's power. The only thing I know about Hagar's power is that Esther turned to him when she wanted to know what to say when they ask why she's not asking for anything. It's very, very, we're very, very missing. We're very lacking in any further information on that. Megillah Starim says that, you know, Haman did not have to say, you know, according to the Pshatim, they're telling Achashverosh they didn't pay taxes, they don't drink our wine. Megillah Starim has a total going. He says, Haman didn't have to tell Achashverosh this. These are the type of things you tell someone if you want to induce them to become a Jew hater. If you're a king, he doesn't know anything about the Jews, and Haman hates them, and he wants to kill them, so he's got to go to Achashverosh and say, you know, these people, we got to get rid of them. Achashverosh would say, well, why? You know, what's wrong? They don't need to drink our wine. The Megillah Starim says Achashverosh hated the Jews. He didn't have to be brought over to Haman's side. He hated the Jews. He was a sign of Yisrael. There's no reason why you have to do that. There were two things Achashverosh was afraid of. He's a melech. Even if he hates the Jews and he has, you know, the wherewithal to carry out a sentence against them, to annihilate them, he's a melech. And there's two things, you know, there's some things that, you know, melech, he, most of all, he wants order in the kingdom. Do you know what happens when you take an entire population all at once and annihilate, chas v'shalom, and annihilate them all at once? You know that maybe there's a feeling of satisfaction afterwards, if Russia could feel, you know, the bloodlust. Oh, okay. But the kingdom falls apart. You know, the system of economics is, everything is so intertwined one another. You wipe out the Jews, the Gemara calls it having a bald spot in the kingdom. Everything, you have no idea what could collapse because of it. The social systems and ecosystems and the economy, and it's just everything, you know, an entire group, one individual is killed, so then maybe the damage could be controlled. But an entire nation, and such a nation, I mean, Achashverosh hated the Jews, but he wasn't fooled. He didn't think they were unimportant. So he tolerates them. He tolerates them. And the second thing a king is afraid of is that he knows, sometimes in the front of his mind, sometimes it's deeply buried in the back of his mind, that he's only king by virtue of the king of all kings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's the God factor. And they're scared. They don't live with it. They don't live like they're scared, but they are scared. And there's a limit, you know, there's a limit to what they'll do. He didn't have to be convinced that the Jews didn't deserve to live. Achashverosh didn't feel that the Jews had a right to live. He needed to be convinced that, number one, it's not going to cause damage to his kingdom, and number two, God is not going to take revenge against him. So here's where you see the Chachma of Haman. He was able to penetrate the psyche of Achashverosh. He was able to see exactly which switch, which buttons to press. He knew exactly what he was, you know, he capitalized on his fears. It's called capitalizing on his fears. Exploiting his fears. Bringing them out. So number one, he said, they're Mephizah and Mephired. We'll get to in a minute what the difference is between them. That means that they're not all concentrated in one place. So you can kill them all out. It's not going to create a bald spot. If they're in one place, they're all concentrated. You have millions of people in one place. And Chas V'Shalom, all these people are annihilated. So that's a tremendous hezek to the kingdom. But every block, there's a Goldberg here. There's a green span over there. Every block. It's not Borough Park, it's like Chicago. In Chicago, we had a block, we had 20 houses on a block, there's one Jew. The next block, there's another one. If you're lucky, you had someone across the street, they're scattered. So he was telling, you know, he was quieting that fear. Mephires are Mephired. Don't worry about it. Kill them. And you're afraid of a Kaddish Baruch Hu? Miguel Stein says that the statement that they don't keep the laws of the king, that's not referring to the king Achashverosh. They kept Achashverosh's laws. That's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Gemara says, when it says HaMelech and the Megillah, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They don't keep the laws of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, so they're not from. They bow down to an Avodah Zarah. They did Averis by the Mishnah. That was the plan. The plan was to entrap them. And for a segment of Klal Yisrael, they were Metzliach. They don't keep the laws of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the king doesn't need them around. It's also referring to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'la melech in shav l'anichem means a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care to leave them around. Buttons. Two buttons. The Vilna Gaon explains the pasuk Ramesh Pshuta Shemikra. I guess we should have started with the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon said there were other things Achashverosh would be afraid of. And according to the Vilna Gaon, Haman didn't tell Achashverosh what the nation was. According to the Megillah Star, Machashverosh knew which nation it was. It was very clear. According to the Megillah Star, it was very clear which nation it was. According to the Targum, it was clear which nation it was. But the Vilna Gaon said Haman never mentioned to Achashverosh which nation it was. And he says, why not? Because he knew that Achashverosh was very close to Mordechai. Mordechai saved his life. Let's not forget that. And
he
wasn't... What?
He did forget
Haman
it.
Didn't know that. Haman didn't know that.
Achashverosh knew that
Mordechai saved his life, yeah, because Esther told Achashverosh in the name of Mordechai. And even before that, he was by the palace of the king.
Right.
He was one of the advisors. Mordechai was a variable commodity in the kingdom. And so he didn't want to tell Achashverosh which nation, because he wanted to get permission first, and then Achashverosh will find out. Even Achashverosh would definitely agree as far as the Jews are concerned, but Mordechai not. And he wants to get everyone. So according to the Vilna Gaon, Haman assumed that Achashverosh didn't know. That's Haman's assumption. But he told him a lot of things about the people. He said, Achashverosh, what are you afraid of? You're afraid that it's going to be an unpopular decision? That the rest of your people are going to protest it? They're going to rise up in rebellion against it? You know, save the whatever nation is. You know, pickets and it's going to be an unpopular decision. It's going to cause unrest in the kingdom. The Mephiris are Mephirid. Mephiris means that they're scattered. So they don't have like such a presence. And Mephirid, the Vilna Gaon says, that they don't intermarry. Mephirid means that they stay separate. They don't intermarry. So they don't, you hear them right at the Gazette, this Lashon Hara. So that means they don't have any relatives. If they're all killed out, there's not a single surviving relative. If you kill out the Swahilians, so 30% of the Swahilians took Zimbabwe wives. That means that you've got millions of people that are going to take your revenge against them. They don't intermarry. Oh, he thought of this. They don't intermarry. They all killed out. There's no surviving relatives. This is a beautiful opportunity to get rid of an enemy. They're Mefayrad. They exist in a bubble. You said, what about the cousins in America? You know, like, no, the Achashverosh, they're all contained. This we talked about in the beginning. They're all contained. You'll get them all. You'll get every last one of them. The same Shoinis, they have different kind of laws. Because they have different ways of doing things, it means there's nothing they do. They don't do anything the way we do it, so everyone hates them. Because they go out of their way to be different. They can't, you know, they don't collect Easter eggs. Could you believe that?
No way.
And then Dasi Amalek, they don't work for the government. They don't take government positions because they hate the king so much. They'll never do anything to be in the service of the government. Dasi Amalek, they don't keep the laws of the king. That doesn't mean the laws on the populace. That means that they don't work for the government.
But didn't Mordechai work for Achashverosh?
First of all, Achashverosh didn't know that he was talking about the Jewish people, so, and Haman didn't want him to know he was talking about Mordechai. So if Mordechai worked for Achashverosh, then Haman was just plain lying.
Well, wouldn't that bring his attention to Mordechai once he mentioned it was Jews?
Never mentioned it was Jews. According to the Pashup Shat, Achashverosh only found out it was Jews. And in the day of the second Mishnah, when Esther told him.
But did he give over his ring when he didn't know who he was planning on killing?
Yeah, isn't that amazing? You know why he gave the ring over? Because God wanted to scare the Jewish people. It doesn't make sense. If he knew it was the Jews, it makes sense. But he didn't know. He's going to let someone have that kind of power? It doesn't make sense. And not only that, Achashverosh himself said that when he gave over the ring, by Persian law, He himself can't reverse the edict. So he's giving someone power to do it, and he's giving him power to do something irreversible. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't. You can't make sense of it. Ein shavla nicham, so the Vilna Gaon says, like Rashi, that there's no profits because they don't pay taxes. So he coincides with Rashi Pshat. Let's start. You want to start Pesach tests? Yes? Okay. Ima lamelech taiv, if it's for the king, it's considered taiv, good. Yikasav la'abdam, it should be written to destroy them. Vaseris Allah from Kikar Kesef, 10,000 talents of silver. It's a huge amount. Eshkal, I will have weighed out. Aydei Aisyam Malacha, to the people that make the coins. And we have the coin makers weigh it out. Lahavi Aginzei Melach, to be brought to the secret chambers of the king. It greases the wheels. All right, so because I'll make a cheshbon here. This is a stick of arichas. We'll start with the Rule of Gaon, and Mitzvah will continue on Tuesday. The Rule of Gaon says, Imala Melchtev is good for the king. Haman is very, he was very crafty. And he didn't want the blame to be laid at his door. Things could always bounce, could always come back to haunt you. So he said, Imala Melchtev, meaning, truth is, here Achashverosh, this is the situation. These people are a threat. You don't get anything from them. They're evil. They're despicable. I'd advise you to wipe it out. That's him all the time. That's how the villain learns. So if Akashverus does it, Tzama could always say, listen, I never told you to do it. It was you. You decided. I just brought the facts in front of you. He's giving an Eitzah. Akashverus, you're going to wipe out the Jewish people. He's not going to be the one to pull the trigger. And that's the way of all evil men, is that they try and get other people to do the dirty work. The villain said he offered the kesef, the money, in order to replace the revenues to the king, which is a tremendous chutzpah, because he just told the king they don't pay taxes.
It's a collective whole, but some people do.
Yes, yeah, so that means that there's he was telling him that they're wicked people because a lot of them don't, but the mice, there will be some loss of revenue. I guess you can work it out that way. I don't know. He was saying to himself.
Could you just cover? He said, first they don't, but even if you have a chashash.
Whatever, the Vilna Gaon says both things. He says, Amalekah and Shavu L'anicham, because they don't pay taxes. And here he's giving them kesef to pay for the missing taxes. So either like you're saying, that some people do and some people don't. So you're saying that some people don't pay taxes, it's going to get Achashverosh angry. And then, but some people do pay taxes, so he has to replace it. Or you could say he just contradicted himself, so what?
They haven't decided to pay taxes, so cover
forever.
He was saying, he was giving him the money. He wasn't really giving him the money to replace the revenue. He was giving the money to bribe him. And he was just saying, if they don't pay taxes, there's an excuse to give him the money.
Doesn't sound like
that. I'm sorry, he was just saying that he's replacing the... I'm giving this for soda crackers, What's this money for? I don't know, go buy your wife a new outfit. This is for the taxes, but you don't really mean it. That could also be the shot. When you're giving someone 10,000 silver talents, they don't pay too much attention to the reason you give. Aisha Malacha, it's going to be weighed, but Aisha Malacha, so Vilna Gaon says that he had coins minted special for this. These were not the coins in circulation already. These are special coins. He's going to have them made. Beautiful silver talk has various specifications, and this is going to be a point later on. Okay, by some reason we have to continue this the next opportunity.